Your host, Reverend Bill M., brings us
The Devil's
Mischief, carnal comedy clips, netherworld novelty of numbers, brought to you by RadioFreeSatan.com. Episode number 685.
Welcome to The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan. This is Bill M., and in recognition of St. Patrick's Day, I have put together the St. Patrick's Day special of The Devil's Mischief. Here in the United States, St. Patrick's Day is a big holiday, particularly in the Northeast, with so many Irish Americans here around Boston. I am from such a family. Of course, the celebration has nothing to do really with St. Patrick or Catholicism itself, really. But it's a great excuse to drink alcohol and eat corned beef and wear green and drink more alcohol and other such Irish-American cultural activities. So in this episode, you'll hear a lot of comedy from Irish comedians like Hal Roach and Dara O'Brien. Also Irish-themed comedy and novelty from American comedians like John Valby, Dennis Leary, Paul F. Tompkins, and Tom Lehrer. Let's actually start with a block of the American comedy. You know, usually when I have a mix of PG-rated stuff and R-rated stuff, I put the softer stuff first, just because it seems to flow better that way. But what the hell? Let's do this the other way around. Let's start with a block of the blue humor of a green variety from the red, white, and blue, this side of the Atlantic. Here is Dennis Leary.
There's a big boom in Irish culture right now. I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and I saw a book entitled Irish Cuisine, and I laughed my balls off, okay? Irish Cuisine. What are we famous for cuisine-wise? We put everything in a pot, and we boil it for 17 and a half hours straight. Until you can eat it with a straw. Thanks, Ma. Where's dessert? Okay, there it is. Thanks, Ma. That's not a cuisine, folks. That's penance. That's what that is, all right? Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I just blew Father O'Grady. What should I do? Eat your supper through a straw. I mean, I love Ireland, but you know, they're a tad behind the times, don't you think? They just voted divorce in Ireland last summer. Yeah, we're 3 years away from the millennium. We're about to colonize Mars, and they just voted divorce in. Wow. Wow. Hang on for another 2,000 years, you might get the Playboy Channel. Ooh. Ooh. Blowjobs are a long way off in that country, folks. We're hoping to vote the blowjobs in around 2050. Because right now we're only allotted about 3 blowjobs a year and they all go to Michael Flatley!
I'm of Irish descent, and growing up Irish, I had to hear terrible, horrible stories about the terrible, horrible Irish potato famine of the 18-somethings. And how terrible it was. Let me tell you something. Millions of people died in the Irish potato famine. Millions! Of people. And why? Because there were no potatoes. Are these the pickiest people in the world? I mean, come on. Oh, no. My belly's all bloated and distended. I'm dying. If only I had a potato. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Please make it rain potatoes. I'm dying. Why don't you have some corn? I don't like corn. Are you sure? You probably never even tried it. Oh, yes, I have. I've tried corn. Remember at that wedding they had corn that time? Not my favorite. That's all I'll say. Well, you got to do something. Just eat some corn. See, I have a problem with textures. You know, some things feel weird in my mouth, and corn's just, ugh, just gross to me. I don't, ugh, forget it. Well, fine. Why don't you just go ahead and starve to death? Yeah. That's what I was doing before you had to interview me for your book about corn. See, that was fun because it was like a little play. For you fans of the theater.
Of course, I don't hate anybody. How many Irish fucking assholes we got in there? When Irish guys get hard-ons, sure, they're all half in the bag. 'Cause the smell of Irish pussy is enough to make you gag. And don't forget St. Patrick.
Hey, this is John Balby, and you're listening to The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan.
I drink and I drive. I'm the only one in my car who gets out alive. Dick Kennedy.
Vagina war, it's a great word.
Who set up Frank Gifford? The fucking Kennedys.
No.
I had sex with Marilyn in my rocket chair. Jack Kennedy. Oh, Mr. President. Been on Berlin and right, we're doing fine. 7,000 relatives are waiting in line. Mr. Kennedy, oh, Mr. Kennedy, oh.
Bill M. here with a 2024 St. Patrick's Day special of The Devil's Mischief. And The Devil's Mischief is, of course, just one of the shows we have here on Radio Free Satan. There's also, for example, The Metro. I just guest-hosted two episodes of The Metro myself, but Reverend Jeff Ivins should be back to hosting The Metro himself soon. Check out these shows on Radio Free Satan over at RadioFreeSatan.com. And I do have, myself, another podcast. It's not on Radio Free Satan, but it is called Satan's Plane. Go to satansplane.com to learn more. SatanSplain.com. Recently, On Satan's Plane, we recorded the first interview ever on Satan's Plane, interviewing the team behind Dr. Shits, which includes me and Church of Satan Reverend Jared Mammon. We have another Church of Satan Reverend who is conducting the interview. Reverend David will be doing that. Hopefully, that should be up soon. Actually, I should say Reverend David Wallace, because there are several Reverend Davids in the Church of Satan, isn't there? Anyway, Dr. Shit's PhD in Satanic Memes is a meme page on Facebook and also on Instagram, so you can hear all about the page in that episode. It's one of the other comedy things I do, Dr. Shit's. And I have launched, in conjunction with Satan's Plane and Dr. Shit's, a merch store. Yes, a merchandise store. You can get Satan Bear from the Devil's Mischief on a t-shirt or on a sticker and lots of other options available. The link for that should be right on devilsmischief.com. I'll try to give it a link in the description of this show if I remember as well. But let's get back to the world of audio comedy. Dara O'Brien had a comedy special called Crack Dealer, and that's C-R-A-C, Crack Dealer. Crack is a slang term, particularly in Ireland, for gossip, fun, enjoyable conversation, that sort of stuff. So Crack Dealer is a pretty good pun to describe an Irish comedian's stand-up comedy special. However, there were some problems with this name, as Dara explains.
See, this is a joke. I honestly believe that this country needs more Irish people coming into it. And on the Irish occasion, you just need to emigrate just to see more of the world and also to give their own unique takes of things onto the world. Because we've kind of slipped off the radar in the UK. You've kind of forgotten who we are. Like, even, for example, the sign, right? The sign of the show, Crack Dealer, right? That's a pun, obviously, which I presume most people got, right? Crack being an old Irish word meaning fun, right? And the Crack Dealer, because I went online a couple of years ago and went, geez, I got to come up with the name of a DVD and I'm sick of call them live at the and live here, right? And somebody suggested Crack Dealer, and we thought that's brilliant. That's a fantastic title for a show, right? And we still got onto the box and we showed it to loads of people, and they went, that's fantastic, Dara being Crack Dealer, I get it, that's great. Apart from one major retailer in this country, one massive chain of shops in this country that said, no, we won't stock something called Crack Dealer because it promotes drug use. As if people would walk into their supermarket, see a DVD with Crack Dealer on it and go, Jesus, I'd love a bit of crack. Really hit the spot round about now. I've been meaning to try it for years, and I was scared by the reputation it had. But if the man off the telly is selling it, then clearly they've ironed out those initial problems. Kids, will we have a bit of crack? Let's have some crack, Daddy, let's have some crack, Daddy, let's have some crack. Now, I'm not so unprofessional as to tell you which major retailer in this country refused to stock a DVD. I wouldn't dream of doing such a thing. I would merely point out that if you want to come up with an advertising slogan that best sums up the day-to-day existence of a hardcore Class A drug addict, you're not going to do better than Every Little Helps. Of course, this may backfire on me anyway, because obviously the thing is, on the DVD box, there is always on the back of it a picture of the show as it goes along. So it means even if I keep it off the front of the box, the back of the box will have like tiny letters of Crack Dealer, which surely they're not going to be happy about. And I should be more sensitive to their desires not to have had this here where they would see it. I mean, that is obviously, I've got to do everything I can to avoid them being embarrassed or angry by the words appearing in tiny letters. How unfortunate. As you get older, you just ditch certain things as you get older, and it's a pleasure to do, right? I mean, for example, right, religion is a very good app. I wouldn't be a very spiritual man, right? I don't believe in God, right? Still Catholic. Because there's nothing you can do when you're Catholic. Once you've started Catholic, frankly, there's no real way to stop being Catholic. Even not believing in God isn't regarded as sufficient reason to get out of the Catholic Church. You'd think it'd be fairly fundamental to the whole thing, but no, Catholicism, the stickiest, most adhesive religion in the world. There's no
website you can deregister online. You can't put up your membership card in front of a priest and go, feck you, I'm out of here, and walk away. You could join the Taliban. You'd merely be regarded as a bad Catholic. I'm presuming a large chunk of you probably were raised Protestant. Give me a cheer if you had any Protestant upbringing at all. A fair few of you, right? Now, when you do the wafer thing, right, and take the hooks or whatever thing, it represents the body of Christ. It's a metaphor. It's a symbol of the body of Christ. Oh, not when you're Catholic. When you're Catholic, it is the body of Christ. You're supposed to actually believe that it turns into the flesh of Christ in your mouth. Nobody fully explained this to me as a child. I would have spotted the flaw relatively quickly in that. Right? I would have gone, hang on, I might be eight, but I've eaten enough burgers, chicken McNuggets, right? Fish fingers and rashers to know there is no animal flesh in the world that jams itself to the roof of your mouth. And hoovers all of the moisture out of your body. Until you're looking at your mother going, can I hang it down with my finger? I'm looking at the roof of my mouth. And she's going, do not take it down with your finger. It's the body of Christ. Leave it where it is. You're making a show of me in the church. Well, desiccating me from the inside out. Desiccating, by the way. It's just a ridiculous flaw in the whole thing. And I was recently at a wedding between a girl from Cork who's Catholic and a guy from Edinburgh who's Protestant. A mixed marriage. Yes, panto crowd. It'll never work. I know exactly what you're thinking. You can't have a mixed marriage. The kids will be freaks. The DNA of Catholic and Protestant aren't supposed to be meshed like that. You'll get some sterile mule child of some description. Mule child, take the bag to the room. What's wrong with the child? Don't talk to the mule child. He is born of Catholic and Protestant. He is wrong. He is an abomination. It was a bizarre, because we've been hiring this thing in Ireland for years about the mixed marriage. Basically, if you've ever been to a wedding, you'll know this bride there, all of the bride's people down one side of the church, every one of them Catholic. Groom there, all of his people down, all of them Protestant, right? Catholic on one side, Protestant on the other. At no stage during the service did one side look across it and go, what? You do that? How mad? How freaky? How wrong? You're going to hell. You're going to hell for God's sake, right? It was the same words in the same order for both sides of the church. That's not a feckin' mixed marriage. There's nothing mixed about it at all, right? A mixed marriage is one side of the church going, Mazel Tov! And on the other side, men are firing guns in the air. That's a feckin' mixed marriage, right? If you're ever at a wedding and one side of the church has a big dragon that they're running up and down in the middle of the service, and on the other side, men with spears are hopping up and down, right? That's a feckin' mixed marriage, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm saying there's no difference. There's some differences. The Protestants, you love the hymns. You love the hymns. You can't get enough of the damn hymns. Verse after verse after verse of the feckin' hymns, right? Catholics, we do one verse, up you get, there you go, down you go, end of story, right? You, Jesus, on and on the things go. And we were singing just as much, the Catholics were singing just as much as the Protestants were. But Jesus, we hadn't trained. After about four or five verses, everyone on the Catholic side is swaying forward and backward. How long is this, Jeff? How many verses can they do? Like, right? Weaker members of the Catholic side have been taken out and oxygen being given out. Auntie Mary's gone, she's gone. That's crap. Bring her out, give her air for Jesus' sake. We're keeping going till the end of this one. Would Emmanuel ever get to Israel and stop dragging out the journey for Jesus? And on it went, like. And then we got to the killer, the main audience participation part of the wedding, which is the thing called the Lord's Prayer, right? Now, for those of you not raised in the Christian faith, or those of you who happily forgotten it, the Lord's Prayer was a prayer written by Christ himself, right? Whose major themes are bread and trespassing. You're all running it through your head here, aren't you? Trespassing again, yeah. There are two separate mentions of trespassing in the Lord's Prayer. And you do go, well, was there a lot of trespassing going on at the time? Were people in Galilee and Nazareth constantly vaulting over fences and hopping over walls and taking shortcuts to other people's properties? Was Christ himself sitting there going, if those feckin' kids don't get out of my garden? That's it, a it's going in the pair. It's going in the feckin' pair. No more trespassing. That's the end of it. That's the end. I'm sick of the people trespassing around here. Right, I'm just going to check. Just a piece of trivia for you. Like, does anyone know the difference between the Catholic Lord's Prayer and the Protestant Lord's Prayer? The end. You're absolutely right, miss. The end. The end. It's longer in the Protestant version, right? Somewhere where we handed all the documents over to you around the time of Martin Luther. You took this one and thought, all very well, but feck it, we'll stick a gazebo at the back of it, right? We might knock through here and make it a bit longer and a bit more exciting, right? It'll increase the resale value years down the line, right? And it's longer in the Protestant faith. You knew that. Many of you possibly didn't know that. I didn't know that, and neither did any Catholic at this wedding, right? Both sides stood up at the same moment, right? And belted out the words. Blah, 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 bread. Blah, 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 trespassing. Blah, 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 blah. Yes, more about trespassing. We're getting the point. All right, we'll leave off the trespassing. We won't do any more. And then the Catholics went, amen, and sat down. Really slowly, in a very sanctimonious, there you go, God. We're the real ones. Aren't we the real ones? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Who's the daddy? You're the daddy. Who's the daddy? Yeah, yeah. You're the daddy, right? And their Catholic arses had no sooner touched the pew than the entire Catholic side goes, hang on, the feckin' Protestants are still going. And on the other side of the church, the entire, it was as bold as brass, not a hint of shame or compunction, all of the Protestants going, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Now, amen. All of the Catholics went, you win this one, you crawly little pricks.
Come with me, Warlock Jeff Ivins, for a time trip back to the 1980s on the Metro. I play synth pop and other hits from the decades of indulgence, only on RadioFreeSatan.com.
Satan Splain, Satanic Talk with Church of Satan Magister Bill M.
Well, it's not Satan worship, it's Satanism. It's embracing the life-enriching things which have traditionally been given the devil's name. Pride, lust, earthly success, rational self-interest, atheism, humor, nonconformity, science, a passion for living, being selective about whom we love. We don't see these as shameful sins, but empowering ideals. And we also recognize the psychological power and fun of symbolism and aesthetics, so we utilize Satan as mythology's most fitting mascot for what we're about.
Listen to Satansplain. Learn more at satansplain.com.
Bill M. with the Devil's Mischief. Visit the official website, devilsmischief.com. You can also email me. bill@devilsmischief.com is the email address. We heard a block of Dara O'Brien, and now, as we continue the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, here is some comedy from Hal Roach. Now, there were actually at least two Hal Roaches in the world of comedy. One was from the United States and had something to do with the creation of The Little Rascals. The other, whom we will be playing, is an Irish comedian. Some years back, somebody gave me a Hal Roach record, and I've since digitized it and played excerpts of it here and there on The Devil's Mischief. So let's hear a nice long block of jokes from Hal Roach. Let's hear side one of the whole album.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's star time. Jury's Hotel proudly present Ireland's international comedian, Hal Roach.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Juries. Before we start tonight, there's somebody smoking turf. Hey, I'm sure there is. I've just been in Camry and Donegal, this lovely part of Ireland. Fantastic. I was playing in a beautiful hotel, half Jewish, half Catholic, called the St. Levy. I have a lot of Jewish friends in Donegal, beautiful people, I adore them. I heard two of them talking in the bar the other night. One said to the other, I'm sorry to hear your factory was burned down. His friend said, shh, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow. Dear God. Yes, listen. If there's anybody here tonight super sensitive, that is a joke. The next day I went for a walk. I met a man with a huge dog, so big. So I stopped him. I said, where are you going with the dog? He said, I'm going to have him destroyed. I said, is he mad? He said, but he's not too pleased with the big dog. Yes. There's another fella sitting in the middle of the street with a fishing rod, casting the line into the middle of the street. Now, come on, let's be honest. There's none of us perfect, as you know. We all have our problems. So I decided to be nice to him. I said, how many have you caught today? He said, you're the ninth. You can't win. But the Irish humour, ladies and gentlemen, is so unpretentious that it is acceptable to people all over the world for this very reason. Now, the other day, there's a fella driving in his car here in Ireland, and this big cop on a motorcycle waved him down. He pulled into the side, he put the window of the car down, and the cop said, did you know your wife fell out of the car about 4 miles back? He said, thank God, I thought I'd gone deaf. Write that down, it's a good one. Nun stories. You don't hear many nun stories, do you? We got a nun in tonight down there. Now listen, sister, you can write this down and bring it back to the Reverend Mother. My God, I think she is the Reverend Mother. But anyway, not to worry. Two nuns went shopping to a big supermarket here in Dublin, and they were driving in a red mini car. When they got there, they couldn't find a place to park. One nun said to the other, you go in and get the groceries and I'll keep driving around till you come out. And she did that. She went in, got the groceries, came out, couldn't find the nun or the car. There's a man standing at the corner, and she walked up to him and said, excuse me, have you seen a nun in a red mini? And he said, not since I took the pledge. I love it. Write it down. You know, ladies and gentlemen, drink, booze, has a profound effect on the Irish. Do you know that? We only drink in Ireland to forget we're alcoholics. You can't be sober here, no way. I mean, the hospitality is unbounding. You go to somebody's house, a party, a hotel, it doesn't matter where you go. As soon as you arrive, 6 large drinks are put in front of you right away. They say, come on now, get that down, it'll do you good. Drink that, empty that, pour that into you. Don't forget that one. Get it down. Drink it. Get it down. 2 hours later, they have you over the sink. Saying, come on now. Get it up. You'll be all right. You'll be all right when you get it up. It's true. You know, I watch people coming out of bars at night in Ireland when they close. It's a psychological study to watch them. They're all beginning to walk like this with a head up. Not to spill any. Honest to God, I was in a bar the other night. I'm in a bar every night, but not to worry. And there's a new clinic, you see, just opened in Dublin for alcoholics. It's a closed shop, you can't get into it. It's true, but this clinic is different. The doctors and nurses drink all day with the patients. We don't get many cures, but the days just fly by, you know that. It's fantastic. Anyway, in this bar, there was two fellas sitting at the bar beside me discussing the potency of whiskey. One said Scotch whiskey was stronger than Irish whiskey. His friend said, no way. He said, Irish whiskey is dynamite. He said, last week, my wife and I drank a bottle of Irish whiskey. We went to bed, got up the next morning, and went to 7 o'clock mass. His friend said, what's unusual about that? Lots of people drink a bottle of Irish whiskey and go to mass the next day. His friend said, I know, but we're Jewish. So you want to watch that stuff, it'll kill you. But let's get back to Irish humour. You see, Irish humour is so beautiful. The other day, a man picked up the telephone and he phoned Irish International Airlines and he said to the girl on the telephone, how long does it take the jumbo to fly from Shannon to New York? The girl said, just a minute. He said, good God, that's fantastic. And he put the phone down. Yes, this is the best side over here, by the way. This is it's a lot of class over here tonight. It really is. The Irish International Airlines have just come up with a fantastic gimmick to boost the business. During the transatlantic flights from Shannon to New York, they're going to allow the second class passengers to go up to the first class section to beg. And, yeah, beg, it'll help, it'll make a few bucks, you know. Yes, it will. The other day at Dublin Airport, I got talking to a man who was waiting for his brother to fly in from New York that he hadn't seen for 45 years, and we got talking as people will. I said, when he gets off the plane, will you know him? He said, no, I haven't seen him for 45 years. He didn't even send a photograph. I said, will he know you? He said, of course he'll know me. Sure, I haven't been away. Simple, isn't it? Write it down. It's a good one. There's a very famous organization in America called the Welfare. Did you ever hear of it? It's a closed shop. You can't get into it, really. This, of course, we have the same thing in Ireland, you see, but here we call it the Labour Exchange, but theoretically it's the same thing where you go to get money when you're not working. And this fellow went to the Labour Exchange or the Welfare, and he said to the man, I'd like to get some money. And the clerk said, tell me something about your assets. What visible means of support do you have at the moment? And the fellow said, I have 35,000 shares in Guinness's brewery. And the clerk said, good. Have you got a house? He said, I have three houses, fully furnished and paid for on the outskirts of Dublin. And the clerk said, good. Have you got a car? He said, yes, I have a Rolls Royce outside the door. And the clerk said, you're joking. He said, well, you started it. There was this fella in Dublin, and you know what he did? He bought one of these Japanese motorcycles, a Yamaha, I think you call it. Yes. And he... What? No. Yamaha. Asu. He brought the Yamaha back to the village and he caused great excitement. They'd never seen the like of it before, you see. And this fellow's name was Casey, by the way. And he said to his pal Murphy, get up on the back of the Yamaha and go for a ride on the bike. And they did that. They were gone about a mile when the roars of Murphy could be heard 4 miles away, shouting, he was, stop the bike, for God's sake, stop! The wind is cutting the chest out of me. So Casey said to him, what you want to do is this. Take off your jacket, turn it back to front, button it up here, and that'll stop the wind getting at the chest. I'm sorry for laughing, I know the ending of this. Listen, I think we all do, but not to worry, you see. So Murphy took off his jacket, turned it back to front, buttoned it up here, got up on the Yamaha, and off they went again. They were gone about a mile when Casey turned round to see how he was getting on, and sure, he wasn't there at all. And he was missing as well. So he turned the Yamaha around and went back the road and found Murphy sitting in the middle of the road, surrounded by about 6 farmers. And Casey said, in the name of God, is he all right? And this farmer said, well, sir, he was all right when we got here, but since we twisted his head back the right way, he hasn't spoken. Ah, you're lovely. You really are. But you know, before I opened here at Jury's, I was in Africa for a couple of weeks. I went to Bechuanaland, very exciting. And when I was in Africa, I met the chief of the... tribe. They get that name because they run through the high grass with no trousers on. That'll be funnier in the morning than it is now, believe me. Can you just imagine that, by the way? My God, I can even feel it. However, it's... Back to Irish humour. The FBI sent a photograph of a wanted criminal to the Irish police, and the picture was in 3 poses, front face and 2 side shots. And the message said, we believe he's in Ireland, keep a lookout for him. 3 weeks later, the Irish police sent back a message with a picture, and it said, we got the fella in the middle, but we're still looking for the other two. Write it down, it's a good one. Write it down. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, I have been here at juries for many years, and during that time it's been my privilege to meet people from all over the world. Many things fascinate people about Ireland. They like the people, the 40 shades of green, and the weather. You've been lucky with the weather. It's not always this good. Believe me. 4 months ago, a man came from Los Angeles to Dublin for rheumatism. He got it in 2 days. But we're different. It's nice to wake up in the morning and open the window and listen to the birds coughing. It really is. It's very nice. People are fascinated by many things about Ireland, but you know what they really enjoy? They really enjoy listening to the way we talk. You see, the Irish, we are unique when we talk because we say things that aren't necessary and people find it very amusing. What do we mean by unnecessary remarks? Well, you could live here all your life and your neighbor live beside you and they'll still greet you in the morning something like this. Good day to you. Is that yourself? I mean, who else, for God's sake? Come on. Or sometimes you're walking down the street and somebody recognizes you and they say, ha ha, there you are. I love that one. That's a brilliant deduction, that is. I was sitting at that table last night after the show and a man from Galway recognized me and he walked up to me and he said, excuse me, he said, have you not gone home yet? And him looking at me, sitting at the... But we do talk like that. There was 4 fellas standing outside juries the other night and this big cop went up to them and said, if you fellas want to stand there now, you'll have to move on. I wrote it down. I really did. 2 fellas met in Galway the other day in the street and one said to the other, he said, Flanagan, where were you going this morning when I saw you going to work? And Flanagan said, sure, I was going to work. And the other fella said, I thought it was you, but when I'd cut up to you, you were gone. I love the one about the 2 fellas working on a building site, a construction site. And there's 1 fella up on the roof, 5 floors up, and his pal called up to him and said, Flanagan, don't come down that ladder. I'm after taking it away. It's too much. 3 weeks ago, I was standing at a bus stop in Dublin. There was 25 of us standing at the bus stop. We were waiting for the bus at the time. See, I just said it myself, yes. And this fella walked up to me and he said, do you know what I'm going to tell you? No way. He said, if we all get on this bus, there'll be about half of us left behind. There's a fellow walking along O'Connell Street here in Dublin, and there's a big hole in the road. There's always a big hole in the road in Dublin, by the way. And he falls into the hole, he's stuck, he can't get out. This fellow comes along, sees him stuck in the hole and says, are you after falling down in that hole? And the fellow in the hole said, not at all. He said, I just happened to be down here, and they built the pavement around me. Isn't it fantastic? Really is, you know, I mean, it goes on and on. There's a little village, by the way, called Killaloe, County Clare, not far from Shannon Airport. I've known the postman there for 20 years. His name is Pat Cassidy. Last week in a hotel in Killaloe, I said to the barman, how is Pat Cassidy getting on? He said, he's not. You can forget about him. You'll not be seeing him again. We had to bury the man. He was stone dead. He said, he's finished, passed on, gone over, deceased, gone home, demised, buried, 6 foot down, you wouldn't know him. He's finished. Stone dead. Gone home. Finished. Buried. Demised. In a box. He's gone. You'll not see him again. He's finished. Gone. Gone over. Finished. Gone. Dead. I said, he's dead then. Oh, he said, finished. Gone. 6 foot down. Buried and all. Dead. Finished. Gone. I said, when did he die? Well, he said, if he'd lived till next Thursday, he would have been dead a month. Now, figure that out, because I couldn't. I mean, my nerves wouldn't stand it, really. It's too much, it really is. You may well... No, you see, we have a big traffic problem in Dublin. The one-way streets, they're changing them every day. Honest to God, we don't know where we are. It's an accident if you get home. And Grafton Street is the most important one way in this town. And this woman decides to drive up Grafton Street. And this big cop said, stop and don't move as well. He said, where do you think you're going? She said, I don't know, but I must be late. Everybody coming back. Oh, yes. Oh, dear God. Well, listen, you may well wonder what part of Ireland I come from, ladies and gentlemen. I come from Waterford, where the lovely crystal is made. All my family live there. I have 5 brothers, 3 alive and 2 in the civil service. But we don't talk about them, yes. My mother is 80 years old. She thinks television is a town in Israel. You'd feel sorry for people like that. You really would. Some time ago on a bus, I was on a bus going down to Waterford to see my mother, and this fellow walked up to me and he said, excuse me, are you reading that newspaper you're sitting on? Well, there's no answer to that. I mean, there was this fella with one eye called Casey. I don't know what his other eye was called, but... Oh, dear God. Anyway, he's driving this big truck down in County Kerry, and in Ireland we have these rather low railway bridges, and he's driving the truck under the bridge and he jams it stuck fast, he can't move it. And this big cop comes along, stands watching him for a half an hour, trying to move it. And eventually the cop said to him in eloquent brilliance, he said, are you stuck? And Casey said, no, I was delivering the bridge and I lost the address. Write it down. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, I love children. I adore children. I used to go to school with them. And a long time ago, I've just written a book about kids. They fascinate me. This little Catholic boy said to this little Jewish boy, our parish priest knows much more than your rabbi. And the Jewish kid said, of course he does, because you tell him everything. There's a little boy at school down in County Kerry during the geographical lesson, and the teacher said, son, what's a Hindu? And the child said, it lays eggs. Hindu. Do you get it? Thank God for that. Anyway, this little boy said to his daddy one morning in the kitchen, he said, daddy, where's the Taj Mahal? And the father said, ask your mother. She puts everything away in this house. The teacher said to this child, she said, son, what's the difference between 67,229 and 48,522? And the child said, that's what I say too. What's the difference? I mean, doesn't matter. But this is my favorite child story. I've been telling this story for years. I love it. It was the geographical lesson, and she said to this child, she said, now, son, here's the question. She said, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And the child said, well, it wasn't me. Well, of course, the teacher was amazed at such a ridiculous answer. And the next day, she met the child's mother out shopping, and she said, I'm rather worried about your son, because at school I asked him who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and he said it wasn't him. And the mother said, if my child said he didn't knock that wall down, he didn't do it. Well, of course, the teacher was stunned, and the next day she went to visit the child's father in their home. He was lying in bed at the time, looking for work. Well, work is a very delicate subject in Ireland, do you know that? Half of the men in Ireland think manual labour is the Spanish ambassador. Anyway, she said to the father, I'm very worried about your son, because at school I asked him who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and he said it wasn't him. And then I told your wife what happened, and she said, if my child said he didn't knock that wall down, he didn't do it. And the father said, well, I don't want any trouble. How much did this wall cost? Tonight we have a mayor in from America. As a tribute to him, I would like to tear a replica of the Dublin Lord Mayor's chain from this piece of paper. The other day, I wasn't feeling too well. I went to see the doctor. I was sitting in the doctor's waiting room reading these magazines they have on the table. And I remember, by the way, wasn't it dreadful about the Titanic? This doctor was a funny man. I wish I were. But listen, I stopped smoking. I quit. I didn't have much choice. You see, the doctor took a couple of pictures of my chest. He said if you continue to smoke, I wouldn't advise you to buy any long-playing records. When they put it like that, you listen. He said, raise your right leg. And I did. He said, hold it up high. And I did. Now he said, leave it there. And I did. Now he said, I want you to raise your left leg. And I did. I fell flat on my back. He said, how long have you had these dizzy spells? Can't win. Up at the golden gates of heaven, there are two big signs, and written on one sign it says, stand here all the men who were henpecked by their wives on earth. 5 million men standing beside it. Another big sign, it says, stand here all the men who were not henpecked by their wives on earth. And there's one little fellow, Riley, standing there on his own. And St. Peter said, Riley, why are you standing there on your own? And Riley said, me wife told me to stand here. But the Irish people are basically shy, ladies and gentlemen. Irish men are shy. This is true. This is why we don't marry till late in life, because we're so shy. I mean, the average Irish man, when he's courting his woman, he can't say to her, I love you, will you marry me? These words stick here. He can't get them out. So he has to put his, he's got to put it another way. Like the proposal of marriage I heard about in Donegal about 3 weeks ago. This fellow went up to his woman and said, how would you like to be buried with my people? Romantic, isn't it? But you know, I'm an avid fisherman. I love fishing. Recently in Waterford, where I come from, I went down there to fish. Now, there's always one genius in every village that knows where the big ones are. Isn't that right? It's true. So I met him. He said, I'll show you where they are. So he brings me along. He said, now here, we have them in the thousands. Salmon, that size. Huge, he said. You don't even need a fishing rod. They're so plentiful, you can lean over into the water and pull them out with your bare hands. I said, you're kidding. He said, I'll show you. So we go along, and there it is, and there's a little bridge. Now he said, lean over the bridge, and I lower you down by the legs, and you can pull one up. I must have been out of my Chinese mind, you know that. I leaned over the bridge. He lowered me down by the legs. I panicked. I got hysterical. I said, for God's sake, get me up quick. He said, did you get one? I said, no, there's a train coming. I was in a bar the other night. The door burst open and this little fella came in visibly agitated, and he was annoyed as well. He looked around the bar and he said, I want to know who painted my donkey green outside the door. And this big fella, like John Wayne, stood up and said, I did. What about it? And the little fella said, I just wanted to tell you that the first coat is dry. We had a Scotsman here last night, by the way, sitting at that table. And I said, what are you doing in Dublin? He said, I'm here on my honeymoon. But he was alone. So I said, where's your wife? He said, she's back in Scotland. She's been to Dublin before. There was this fellow working in Dublin here in Guinness's in the huge big vat, the huge big whiskey vat, and one day he fell into it. Three of his mates dived in to try and save him, but he fought them off. And of course he was drowned. On the death certificate it read, cause of death, ecstasy. And then he was cremated. It took 3 weeks to put the fire out.
This is Reverend Gene, the host of Vox Satane, exclusively on Radio Free Satan. Join me every week as we indulge in the classical side of music spanning the past 1,000 years. Vox Satane has already featured over 700 composers covering medieval, baroque, classical, romantic, and contemporary music, including chant, choral, opera, keyboard, and orchestral music, with composers ranging from Gluck to Gilmour, Bach to Bellavance, Talis to Taverner, and Paganini to Pärt. Get your weekly recommended dose of classical music right here on Vox Satane, only on Radio Free Satan, with me, Reverend Gene. Hail Satan.
You have been listening to The Devil's Mischief on Radio Free Satan. Thank you for celebrating this 2024 St. Patrick's Day special with me. I'm going to leave you with one final track. This is a song from Tom Lehrer, and it is simply called The Irish Ballad. Thank you all for listening. Kiss the Blarney Brimstone. Hail Satan. Bye-bye.
About a maid I'll sing a song, sing rickety-tickety-tin. About a maid I'll sing a song who didn't have her family long. Not only did she do them wrong, she did every one of them in, she did every one of them in. One morning in a fit of pique, sing rickety-tickety-tin. One morning in a fit of pique, she drowned her father in the creek. The water tasted bad for a week, and we had to make do with gin, with gin. We had to make do with gin. Her mother, she could never stand, sing rickety-tickety-tin. Her mother, she could never stand, and so a cyanide soup she planned. The mother died with a spoon in her hand, and her face in a hideous grin, a grin, her face in a hideous grin. She set her sister's hair on fire, rickety-tickety-tin. She set her sister's hair on fire, and as the smoke and flame rose higher, danced around the funeral pyre, playing a violin, olin, playing a violin. She weighted her brother down with stones, rickety-tickety-tin. She weighted her brother down with stones and sent him off to Davy Jones. All they ever found were some bones and occasional pieces of skin, of skin, occasional pieces of skin. One day when she had nothing to do, rickety-tickety-tin. One day when she had nothing to do, she cut her baby brother in two and served him up as an Irish stew and invited the neighbors in, boys in, invited the neighbors in. And when at last the police came by, rickety-tickety-tin. And when at last the police came by, her little pranks she did not deny. To do so she would have had to lie, and lying she knew was a sin, a sin. Lying she knew was a sin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, rickety-tickety-tin. My tragic tale I won't prolong, and if you do not enjoy my song, you've yourselves to blame if it's too long. You should never have let me begin, begin. You should never have let me begin.
Darn, that's the end.